Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, and we read this last week. "Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." Turning quickly to 1 John chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Heavenly Father, once again we come into your marvelous presence. And Father, I worship you. I praise you. I thank you for saving me of all sinners. Me. So glad that you did something in my life. You could have passed me by. You could have just let me go on my unhappy little way. But you interrupted my life. You did something for me, and I'm so grateful. And as I stand before you today and before these people, please use me somehow, Lord, that they would see what I saw, that they would find the pearl of great price that I found, that they would sell all that they had like I did to buy that field. Please help, Lord, in Jesus' name. And in that precious and wonderful name we pray. Amen. What I have for you today really is two sermons in one. Really should take my time and break it out. But the end, or where I'm going, is the same direction, the same place, I suppose, so I guess I'll leave them together. We talked last week about holiness. And honestly, next week we may talk about holiness again. I'm not quite sure where the Lord would have me to go. But he says in Hebrews chapter 12 that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And we can argue what holiness means. It's not taught very much anymore. But it's a Bible truth. Holiness or sanctification is necessary. In Matthew chapter 3, for instance, you can read of John the Baptist talking about Christ. He said that Christ's fan was in his hand, and that he would purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he would burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. I may preach that message specifically in the future, perhaps, But it's the job of Christ and the Holy Spirit to do the work of sanctification, to purge his floor, to gather his wheat into the garner. Salvation, we need to be saved, but we also need to be purified, purged, made into the image of Christ. Again, this positional sanctification, when you get saved, that's it, you're on your way to heaven. You leave church, get hit by a bus, guess what? You wake up in heaven. But if you live another 50, 60 years, you should mature in Christ. And again, I don't want to rehash that again, but holiness is important. But this passage I read in 1 John chapter 3 talks of holiness in the context of the coming kingdom. When Jesus Christ comes to get us, bring us to heaven. And I'm not necessarily wanting to spend a lot of time on eschatology. There's a lot that could be said. There's a great study we could do. We could take weeks, maybe months, talking about the various aspects of the second coming. But the fact is, Jesus is coming back. He is coming back for his church to catch them away, and also to judge the wicked. And again, that's a large topic. There's a lot of detail in that. I don't want to get into it, but I want to focus on the fact that he is coming. The sinner should beware, and the Christian should be looking forward to his coming. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. God calls us to be holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Without holiness you won't see the Lord, it says. But if you're looking for his coming, then you will live a holy life. Now it's God that does the work of sanctification. It's the work of the Spirit. I understand that. But if you're looking for his coming, then you're going to want to live right. The boss says, hey, I want you to do this project, want to stack the stuff in the truck or finish this report by the end of the day or whatever the case is. When the boss shows back up, you kind of want to have it done because he may say, hey, come to my office. You understand? Christ is coming. We need to be about the Father's business. We want to live in such a way and act in such a way that he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant, and not depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. If you have an expectation that Christ is coming, you won't go to the bars. You won't go to the clubs you shouldn't go to. You won't smoke that stuff you shouldn't be smoking. Because if you know that he's coming, you don't want to be caught doing that stuff, or be caught in that place, or what have you. Should he come tonight? Matthew chapter 25, I want to run through this. We know this story, we know this parable. Starting in verse 34, going to 46. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and ye gave me meat, ye put something in front of me to eat. I was thirsty, ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came to me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, and we know this story, he says, Lord, when were you hungry, thirsty, etc.? We never saw you hungering, we never saw you in prison. But in verse 40 it says, the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, insomuch as you have done it unto the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. But then he says in verse 41 to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Those guys over there on my right hand, they did right. They lived right. They understood that I saved them out of the crack den or whatever the case. They had an understanding that, hey, their lives were changed, and if I had not done something in their lives, then they understand where they would go, to hell and not heaven. They get their lives right with me, the vertical relationship, but then the horizontal relationship, they began to care for others, show compassion for others, what have you. And they did it as unto the Lord. They cared for those less fortunate, whatever, but these on the left hand, they protested just like the first ones did. They said, well, when do we see you sick and naked and in prison and all that stuff? But Jesus says, because they did not care for those that were less fortunate, did not perhaps get involved in prison ministry or something like that. They didn't lift a finger to help someone else. He said, depart from me. Go into everlasting punishment, it says in verse 46. But the righteous, they go into eternal life. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. There are going to be those, Jesus said, in these parables I've read today, in other parables, many other places we could look, that there are those that look like Christians, act like Christians, sang in the choir, would have you. Maybe some behind pulpits that are not going to make it to heaven. I can hear somebody saying, well, you know, once saved, always saved. I said a prayer. I shook the preacher's hand. I'm saved. Well, maybe. Maybe you did shake the preacher's hand, although you should have met the Lord and shaken his hand while kneeling in an altar, but I'll leave that alone. Maybe you did give your heart to the Lord. Maybe so. But did you live and did you walk worthy of that? And just because you said a prayer at one point doesn't mean that you make it to heaven. Once saved, always saved. I'm sorry. The Bible does not teach that. We need to endure to the end. We need to be looking and expecting his appearing. We need to be living as though he might come. Now, we need to occupy until he comes. That's why we send missionaries and build churches and Bible schools and what have you. We're to occupy till he comes, but we're to live like he could come tonight. Another sermon I could preach that he comes as a thief in the night. And another verse, it says, if the good men of the house had known when the thief was going to come, he would have stayed up and watched and not allowed or suffered his house to be broken into. We need to watch. We need to be waiting. We need to be guarding the things we have and our heart also. We need to have a hope in ourselves that he's coming. Because he is coming. He is coming. And we need to be ready. I could talk about the 10 virgins. The 5 wise, 5 foolish, they were all virgins. They were all in Christ, if you will. There were 5 that were wise, that prayed often, perhaps, were looking for his coming. And they were, and I don't know the Jewish customs exactly, the wedding customs, but let's say in an American understanding, they made sure that the dress was selected and fitted, and it had been to the dry cleaners and was stored in plastic or something, ready for that day. And it talks about oil, the oil of the Holy Spirit, which you get by praying and reading the Word of God and meditating on the Word of God, letting the Holy Spirit do something in your life, having an active relationship with the Lord that cherishes a relationship with the Lord. Then there were the five foolish virgins. Again, they were virgins. They were chaste in Christ, perhaps. They had said the prayer, but they didn't live as though it meant anything at all. When the cry came, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him," they said, oh, but I don't have any oil. We know the story. It's a story that doesn't have a happy ending for those five. We need to be ready for his coming. We need to have, as John said, that hope in us that he is coming, and we need to live a holy life, a separated life. The things of the world, if you're friends with the world, you're an enemy of God, said in another place. Matthew chapter 13, starting at verse 1, "The same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower, or a farmer, went to sow. And when he sowed or planted, some seeds fell by the wayside, the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell on stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell into thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit." These are the only seeds that brought forth fruit. The one that fell into good ground. Some hundredfold, 60-fold, and 30-fold. Okay, good story, but he says, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." If you have an ear to hear, then hear. If you have a heart to understand, then let's go ahead and understand. The Bible, again, does not teach Calvinism. It's not decided ahead of time that one guy will be saved and the other guy will be lost. You need to make that decision on your own. John 3:16, "Whosoever," it says, "whosoever believeth in him." Whosoever. The seed is cast in the whole field or all along the way or what have you. We send missionaries, not my denomination, not yours, but all denominations worth anything. Send missionaries around the world to places you don't want to go. I've been to Haiti a number of times. Trust me, you don't want to go there. It ain't no vacation spot. But I go trying to tell them this wonderful story. But the disciples come and say, "Lord, what does this parable mean? Parable of the sower." Then he says in verse 18 through 23, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, Satan, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed in the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word of God, and anon with joy receiveth it. He sits in church, he hears the pastor preach, God touches his heart. He goes down to the altar and he gets saved. Yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth or endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word. Remember, the word is an offense. Christ is a stumbling block. We're to take up our cross and bear it, and who wants to carry a cross, the one we're going to be nailed to? It's completely understandable. But when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. It's the same seed. The seed is the word of God, he said. The word of God is preached in a church, on the radio, perhaps, on the corner. I've done street preaching on Basin Street, on Royal Street, perhaps other places. I used to live in Atlanta a long time ago. We'd go every Friday night down the corner of Spring and Lucky, this old abandoned lot, I suppose. We'd show up, me and 100 of my closest friends, I guess. We'd pass out hamburgers and hot dogs and tennis shoes and whatever, and we'd hold a service. We'd preach to the people. And from there, we'd also send out teams into the neighborhood, or really not a neighborhood. It was all kind of rundown warehouse district kind of thing. And anyone we found, we gave them a tract and talked to them and said, hey, if you're hungry, you know, there's hamburgers and hot dogs and tennis shoes. Go get you a tennis shoe and munch on it or something. But we tried to pastor these people the best we could. And I've told the story of Hack on this station before. I know I have. How God touched his life. But the word of God is the same seed that these four cases, these four patches of ground, it fell upon. It begins to do something a little bit. Maybe the devil tricks you, steals the word. Maybe you get saved, but then you get involved in other things, and you forget. Maybe what have you. But there's the one that had the good ground, and took time and understood it, prayed, read his Bible, what have you, and then began to witness, and he saw souls saved. The seed is the same. The soil's the difference. He that hath ears, let him hear. You want to go to heaven, it's up to you. The message I preach to you and to the guy that hears and goes to hell is the same. I don't tailor the message. It's all pre-recorded anyhow. It can't change. It's what you do with it. It's what you make of it. And again, if you have a hope that Jesus Christ is coming back, you'll live right. You'll live according to what it says. You'll be looking for his coming instead of looking for what you might be doing on Friday night. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 14. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, that we should live soberly. In other words, aware of the fact that, hey, these are the situations in the world. There's lost folks to be saved, and the Lord's coming. soberly, not foolishly or flippantly, or always and only concerned about the nonsense on Facebook and Instagram or what have you. We should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope, the return and glorious appearing of the great God and of our Savior Jesus Christ, who, oh yeah, by the way, lest we forget, gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, all sin, all that nasty stuff you used to do and I used to do, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And I'll close with this chorus. I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready for those gates of pearl, keeping my record right, watching both day and night. I'm getting ready to leave this world. Are you coming? You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.